All right. How many here enjoy studying God's Word? All right. Tonight's message is moving beyond last year's mistake. You know, we're kind of close to the beginning still of 2025, and as you sit here tonight and you review last year, perhaps some of you had success. Maybe God delivered you from an addiction, or He delivered you from a toxic relationship, and you're so grateful to God. You feel like you've achieved, and you're like, man, this year I'm just going to sit back and relax. Don't do it. Don't mentally park in the place of last year's success, because God has got something new for you this life. And there's others of you here tonight, maybe many of you here tonight, who are mentally parking in a major blunder or a mistake that you made in 2024. And you might be thinking about the mess up. Maybe you have remorse on the inside, regret. I would have, I should have, I could have. And maybe you feel like you're unable to move ahead with your life because you keep looking backwards. If you live 2025 looking through the rear view mirror of your life, you won't be able to move ahead in the new thing that God has got for you in this year. He's got something new for you in this year. Now, there was a very important person in the New Testament who also made a major mistake. Peter, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. But you know, he made this major blunder, he made this mistake, but he did not mentally park in the place of that mistake. He repented, and he moved ahead with the thing that God had for his life. So tonight we're going to turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Now this is Jesus at the Last Supper with his disciples, and in verse 31 he says this. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you, or to sift you as wheat. Now, wheat was put in a kind of a sieve. It was agitated. The chaff would come out and the grain would remain. So Jesus was saying that, Simon, Simon, the enemy is going to try to agitate you with persecutions and trials. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. He was saying to Jesus, Jesus, I've got full trust and faith in you. He was a little overly self-confident in himself, Peter was. And Jesus answered in verse 34, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. And so as you read on in Luke chapter 22, you see that Jesus is arrested. And then in verse 54, we're going to pick it up. Then seizing him, Jesus, that is, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you are also one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Jesus looked at Peter with those piercing eyes as if to say, Peter, I warned you. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside, verse 62, and wept bitterly. Now think about it. Why did Peter deny his knowledge of Jesus? Why did he deny him three times? I'm not saying this is for certain, but perhaps he saw Jesus' humanity so clearly when Jesus was bound, unresisting, and at the mercy of the rulers. Maybe his faith was faltering in Jesus. Perhaps He was ashamed that he had connection to one, to Jesus, who was so clearly showing his humanity. Remember, Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man. And so Peter possibly is ashamed, and he denies Jesus. He disowns him. This was like a slap in the face of God. He dishonored Jesus. He disrespected him, the King of Kings. And as we said, Jesus looked at him as if to say, Peter, I forewarned you. It says Peter was struck with remorse. He went outside and wept bitterly. He wept continuously. This weeping was the beginning of Peter's repentance process. What is repentance? It is a change of mind. Now, a short time later, we see that Peter repents fully in John chapter 21. If you got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. The disciples had miraculously caught a large amount of fish. Jesus made breakfast for the disciples in John 21. And we'll pick it up in verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? More than these what? Maybe more than these objects that help you earn a living. Maybe more than these nets and the boats and the fish, the tools that help you earn a living. Do you love me more than these things? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs, my little ones. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you, that I dearly love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. You know, three times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, and it must have brought to Peter's memory the three denials. You see, Jesus was about to transition Peter from being a fisher of men, a fisher of fish, to being a fisher of men. But it was as if Jesus wanted to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Peter really loved him dearly before he thrust him into full-time ministry, because just a short time earlier, he was like, Peter, you denied that you even knew me. So Peter assured Jesus of his dear love for him. Peter went from denying Christ publicly to declaring his love for Jesus publicly. He had a change of mind. Peter, the denier of Jesus, became Peter who declared his love, his dear love for Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There was like a 180 shift in his life. There was a change of mind. He had repented. He humbled himself. And it was like he was saying, Jesus, I'm sorry for having denied you. I really love you. And you know all things. You are the judge of it. And he moved ahead with God's plan for his life. Did you know Peter, in Acts chapter 2, preached one of the most powerful gospel messages in the New Testament on the day of Pentecost? He was sharing the spiritual food of the gospel with God's little ones. God made him, transitioned him from being a fisher of fish to a fisher of men. Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read part of the message, but I encourage you tonight, if you have a chance, read the whole chapter. So we're going to pick it up in verse 31. Peter's message, gospel message to the little lambs. Seeing what was to come, verse 31 of Acts chapter 2, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. This is Peter preaching. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is powerful preaching on Peter's part. Would you agree? Verse 39, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Peter in Luke 22 denied Jesus, but we see a repentance, a change of mind in John chapter 21. He didn't stay stuck in the past. He didn't allow his past, his denial of Jesus, to paralyze him. He repented and started walking in the plan, the new thing that God had for his life, to feed the lambs, the little ones, to share with them the spiritual truths of the gospel. And God anointed Peter, and he preached a powerful gospel message. Would you agree? And so for you here tonight, let's bring it home. For you here tonight, perhaps you made a major mistake in 2024. Maybe you made a mistake as you reviewed the past year, sitting here tonight. Maybe you messed up. Maybe you overcame an addiction to alcohol. Maybe you took courses and God supernaturally delivered you from that addiction to alcohol. You were sober and that old gang of drinking buddies came around at one point of 2024. And maybe they said to you, you know what, on Friday night, why don't you just go drinking with us? And you said to them, no, God delivered me. I serve Jesus. I don't do that anymore. And maybe that crowd ridiculed you. Maybe they mocked you. Maybe they called you a Jesus freak, a religious nut. And they did it again and again, and you finally got ashamed and you gave in and you drank on that Friday night. And a week later, you drank again with them. And maybe a few weeks later, you did it again. And now you're struck with remorse, with regret, because you dishonored the name of Jesus that you told that crowd you were now following. Or maybe God spoke to you about something else in your life, something he was wanting you to do, maybe somebody he was wanting you to reach out to, and you did not obey. And maybe tonight, in 2025, you're struck with some grief. I would have, I could have, I should have, but I'm here to tell you tonight, don't park there mentally. Don't park mentally in the place of last year's mistake. Don't ponder, don't think about, don't dwell on the mess up, on the blunder, on the mistake of 2024. Don't allow that mistake to paralyze you from moving ahead with the new thing, with the greater thing, with the plan God has for your life in 2025. Is that good news here tonight? You got to do what Peter did. You've got to repent from the heart and say, God, I changed my mind this year. God, I know you spoke to me last year, or God, I dishonored your name last year, but I'm sorry. I repent. And God, speak to me again this year. Speak to me this year, and I will do what you're telling me to do. That's repentance. And as you repent and as you cry out to God in this way, there's going to be a voice that tries to discourage you. The voice of the enemy may try to discourage you. Remember what he did to the woman in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. The devil is so underhanded, right? He said to the woman in Genesis 3, verse 1, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? You know, he might try to say the same to you, and maybe he has been the last few days and weeks. He might have been saying to you, do you really think God can speak to you again and give you another chance? Shut it out. Remember, Jesus said that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. He is a liar and the father of lies. When the enemy tries to discourage you with his words, counter him with the greatest word of all, the word of God. If there's anything that makes the devil run faster than lightning, what is it? The spoken word of God from your lips coming right from this scripture. And you tell him, you know what, devil? You're trying to discourage me. You're trying to plant seeds in my mind, but I'm here to tell you tonight that I confessed my sins to God. And the word of God says in 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And you just tell him, you know, God sees me as forgiven. That mistake, that mess up of 2024, you old devil, God has thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. God has forgiven me. God has forgot it. And that's the way I see myself, the way God sees me, as forgiven. You got to see yourself as God sees you, justified, just as if I had never sinned. I'm going to read this illustration. I've done it before, but I think it's, I enjoy it so much. Listen to this here tonight. It's called The Duck and the Devil. Anybody hear this little story of the duck and the devil? There was a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm. He was given a slingshot to play with out in the woods. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit the target. Getting a little discouraged, he headed back for dinner. As he was walking back, he saw Grandma's pet duck. Just out of impulse, he let the slingshot fly, hit the duck square in the head, and killed it. He was shocked and grieved. In a panic, he hit its dead body in the woodpile, only to see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. After lunch the next day, Grandma said, Sally, let's wash the dishes. But Sally said, Grandma, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen. Then she whispered to him, remember the duck? So Johnny did the dishes. Later that day, Grandma asked if the children wanted to go fishing, and Grandma said, I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper. Sally just smiled and said, well, that's all right, because Johnny told me he wanted to help. She whispered again, remember the duck. So Sally went fishing and Johnny stayed to help. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, he finally could not stand it any longer. He came to Grandma and confessed that he had killed the duck. Grandma knelt down, gave him a hug and said, sweetheart, I know. You see, I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. But because I love you, I forgave you. I was just wondering how long you would let Sally make a slave of you. That's good, isn't it? It's like the devil. She was like the devil in this instance. Whatever is in your past, whatever you have done, and the devil keeps throwing it up in your face, lying, cheating, debt, fear, bad habits, hatred, anger, bitterness, whatever it is, you need to know that God was standing at the window and he saw the whole thing. Yay! He has seen your whole life. He wants you to know that he loves you and that you are forgiven. He's just wondering how long you will let the devil make a slave of you. The great thing about God is that when you ask for forgiveness, he not only forgives you, but he forgets. It is by God's grace and mercy that we are saved. So, as you're trying to get away from the past, as you're trying to leave the past where it belongs in the past in 2024, and if the devil is trying to whisper to your spiritual ears a word of discouragement, what do? You quote the word of God. Because like I said, if there's anything that makes him flee faster than lightning, it is the word of God. And you tell him, you old devil, you know what? You're not going to put a guilt trip on me concerning last year's mess up, last year's blunder, the mistake I made last year. You're not going to put a guilt trip on me because the Word of God says that there is therefore no condemnation for me because I am in Christ Jesus. You speak the Word and he will have to flee from your life. You speak the Word of God and he will stop whispering his words into your spiritual ears. So, how do you start seeing yourself as God really sees you? How do you see yourself as forgiven the way that God sees you? Not staying stuck in the past. Not looking through the rear view mirror of your life. How do you, practically speaking, see yourself, influence, train your mind to see yourself as God sees you, as forgiven? By getting into the Word of God. Not just at Easter and Christmas time. That's good to get into the Word of God at Easter and Christmas time. But you've got to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis. 2 times a year in the Word of God is not going to cut it, friends. You've got to be in the Word of God on a daily basis. You know, the media that you read, the internet that you're looking at, the magazines and the newspapers that you might be reading will influence the way that you think. If you're reading bad news on a consistent basis, what is it going to do to you? It's going to make you more pessimistic in your mind. Why not read the greatest book in the world? The Word of God. Not just once in a blue moon, but consistently. What did Joshua say? Or how is it written in Joshua 1, verse 8? He was the chosen one to bring God's people into the promised land. But this is what he encourages them with. Joshua 1, 8. He says this, keep this book of the law always on your lips. This book of the law. Now, today in 2025, we know that the book of the law encompasses Genesis to Revelation. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Meditate on it day and night. What does that word meditate mean? It mean? It means this. It means to speak the Word of God to yourself. To quietly read the Word of God and speak it to yourself, to memorize the Word of God, to meditate upon the Word of God, to mull upon the Word of God, to think about what you're reading in the Word of God on a consistent basis. You might not have a lot of time, so read 5 scriptures from Genesis and read another 5 from John and think about what you're reading and whisper back to yourself the words that you're reading. And as you do that on a consistent basis, you will influence your mind supernaturally by the Word of God to start thinking about yourself as God thinks about you. Don't let the devil try to keep you stuck in 2024 in the mistake of last year. Don't live your life with regret. I would have, I could have, I should have. Repent like Peter repents and say, God, I love you. You spoke to me, I messed up, I missed it, but God, I pray that you speak to me again this year and I will obey what you tell me to do. And that shows a repentant heart. That shows a change of mind. You were once going selfishly your way, maybe in 2024. This is the year to start going God's way. That's repentance. And once you repent, remember this, and you confess your sin, God forgives you, and he throws that sin into the sea of forgetfulness. He sees you as forgiven, 1 John 1:9. And you got to start seeing yourself as forgiven as you get into the Word of God and you meditate upon it day and night. God has got a new thing for you this year. He's got more for you this year. He's got something greater for you this year. Amen. Leave the past where it belongs in the past. Repent and start moving ahead toward the thing that God has for you in 2025. And say it with me tonight. Tonight, I declare, I make it my goal to start getting into the Word of God on a consistent basis in 2025. Meditating upon it day and night. In Jesus' name. Amen. And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that you're not on this earth just to exist. You're not here to just take up space. God has got a plan, purpose, destiny, and an end for your life. He's got something for you to do. And this is the year that you can obey God, just like Peter did. And God will thrust you into the thing like he thrust Peter into feeding his sheep, into the thing that God has for you. Amen?
Amen.
And as you were listening tonight, you might have thought, well, you know what? I've never even accepted Jesus. But tonight, for the first time, I want to do so. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, but for the first time tonight you're wanting to do it, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Anybody for the first time in your life, wanting to accept Jesus? Anybody in the room here tonight? All right. Maybe you accepted Christ at some point in the past, but maybe you got upset with someone, you got upset with God, and you turned away. And tonight you want to re-give your life back to Christ. If that's you, raise your hand. Don't waste another moment. I see those hands. Stand up. Stand up, those raising your hands. If God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit, don't ignore His voice. Because guess what? The next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to step into eternity in the next hour, do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you'd be with God in heaven? If not, raise your hand. Stand up. God has got something new for you this year. Leave 2024 where it belongs, in the past. Anybody else want to follow their lead? All right, those standing up, come to the altar. Come forward. Come to the altar. Amen. All right. All right, you could just line right up there, guys. All righty. Those standing up tonight, repeat this prayer after me, please. Repeat this prayer after me, those standing up. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you that you've died upon the cross for my sins. I followed you at one time, but I slipped away. I've said and done some bad things. But tonight, I changed my mind from going my way to going your way. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. Jesus, I love you. Give me the strength to follow you all the days of my life with every part of my being. And when I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome back to God's family. All right. And for those of you who came forward tonight, there's things you can do spiritually to remain close to Christ. You can be in the Word, like we talked about, on a consistent basis, meditating upon it. You can be praying and crying out to God. Keep going to church services. All right. Find good, solid Christian friends. May God richly bless you. This brother here is going to close off the service. Come on up.
Thank you very much, Brother John.